play one more song before sweet, sweet Alex Golan comes on with Headroom. He has some special guests tonight, so hope you enjoy that. For now, I'm just going to be playing a little bit of The Dig. I Already Forgot Everything You Said is the name of the song. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you've been enjoying Storytime with Papa T. If you liked it, check it back next week from 10 to 11, and it'll be a fantastic time. As I said, here's The Dig with I Already Forgot Everything You Said. Enjoy.
To I seen her was the craziest side. A girl who was dancing in by my side. She did a crazy thing on a bit of Jean Margaret. Bit of Jean Margaret, well, a bit of Jean Margaret, keep rocking all along. Well, I stood and watched, so surprised. Should have seen a gleam in everybody's eyes. A rock, bit of Jean Margaret, bit of. Walking all along. Oh, well, I never seen a dance like that before, but everybody hollering, Betty rock some more. Rock, rock, oh, rock, baby. Well, a bit of Jean rock and keep rocking all along. Well, oh, man, she's a dancer. Ooh, what a scene. Ooh, rock, baby, you're the rock and roll queen. Oh, rock, baby. Bit of Jean rock, oh, rock, baby. Well, a bit of Jean rock and keep rocking all along.
Welcome to Headroom with Alexander Golan on 91.5 WMFO Medford. We've got some special guests here tonight with us. We've got a proper mob here on air. Guys, why don't you say hey to everybody. Introduce yourselves. Hang on one second. This is giving me a hard time. There we go. All right, now we got the board worked out. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hey, everyone. How are you? This is Brian.
Hey there, I'm Ted.
I'm Freemus.
are a proper mob.
Is Freemus your stage name that you go by?
Well, it's the name the band gave me.
Oh, yeah?
I was disappointed that the other band members did not follow suit.
But I
went last.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you. What's your stage name?
I don't actually have a stage name. See, I don't even have a DJ name. It's just my full name.
Well, you're DJ Ted.
I'm DJ Ted.
DJ Ted.
This is B-Reels.
B-Reels.
Yeah. No. That's how we roll.
DJ B-Reels? You don't like it?
I don't know. It's B-Reels. Like, identity is so fluid.
Just B-Reels. B-Reels.
You're right. You're right.
You know, some songs I'm B-Reels. Some songs I'm number six. Some songs it's not worth naming me. Yeah. Because it's all about the song.
Second bearded man.
Second beard to the right. Backup beard. Also, I'm allowed to play the empty maraca on most tracks.
So, Freemus, does that make you beard number three?
Was this being videotaped also?
No.
I wore the beard for radio. So, yeah. Yes, yeah, beard number three. I'll take that.
Because it's a new edition. It's a new edition. So.
How do you know that?
Well, I mean,
we weren't going to talk about
so minimal.
I'd say though about Freemus's beard is that he looks exactly like Spock's brother.
With the evil Spock
from the beard from the bottom of the beard to the top of the beard. No, it's not evil Spock. It's his brother.
What does that mean, though? Well, that's probably some passive aggressive nonsense.
No. You look quite like him from the beard to the.
Is
to
he
the
cool?
Beard. He's got minions.
He's got minions.
Right. He's got followers. Yeah. He got the guy who played.
True.
We'll get a visual aid here. We'll get a visual aid.
The guy, David Warner, was one of his posse. Remember from Tron, David Warner, one of the great film villains with an English accent? Like, way before that fella who just died.
What was he on?
This is what
he was
we got
on Tron.
Here.
He does look like Evil Spock's brother. I need to work on the eyebrows.
It's like you bought that. It's like you got that beard at an auction.
Did we confirm that he's evil?
Well, it's complicated. It's like so many things in Star Trek.
I got a lecture on Star Trek the other day. There's a lot more going on there than I ever realized.
Apparently.
It is. Yeah. There's a great scene where Spock's brother attacks God and says, "Show me your pain." And he goes right in and wrestles with God and wins. And
What does he win?
A delaying tactic. He gets his Spock and then the rest of the
gets him off.
Regulars.
They're off.
Yeah, nice they don't die.
Cool.
And can do generations with Patrick Stewart.
That's great film.
My other favorite part about that movie is where William Shatner as James T. Kirk disses God, because God's like telling about, because the whole thing is they lure God, the Enterprise, to the center of the universe where God lives, or some kind of crazy nonsense. And they get there, and the funky God is there, and everybody's a little bit like, whoa, that's kind of unusual. We kind of expected some kind of robot or like something else, but this is sort of a weird idea. Anyway, and then God starts talking about what he wants, and he's like, well, I need your spaceship, and I'll get on your spaceship, and we'll go and spread the word. And all of a sudden, James T. Kirk is like, excuse me. Yeah. Like, interrupts God. Why do you need a spaceship? And it's just a great moment. Like, because who else would interrupt God?
It's like Columbo in space.
Well, no, it's not
just
even Kirk.
Just one question. One more thing.
Hey, what they bother me. Can you yourself create a rock that is so heavy that you could not lift it? I just for my files.
Oh man.
In the future, that'll be great because, like, 20 years from now, you could just drop Columbo right into that Star Trek movie. You make your own thing. That would. I hope I live to see that.
Yeah, like it just, you know, it's like instead of the make your own ice cream sundae shops that have popped up, it's like make your own Blockbuster shops.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, right. And instead of Luke Skywalker defeating Darth Vader in The Return of the Jedi, it's Mighty Mouse just comes up and is like, there I come to save the day, and just punches him right in the face.
Oh, man.
Knocks his helmet
Which
off.
One? Luke?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
How would you catch? How would you run? I would have him punch Darth Vader. Frankly, I think Mighty Mouse and Luke are kind of simpatico.
I can see Mighty Mouse and Chewie going at it.
Yeah. Imagine how fast Mighty Mouse could just give Chewbacca corn braids.
That'd be great.
Like Axl Rose.
Oh man! Did you hear? I think Axl's the new singer for AC/DC.
No.
Yeah. No. Seriously. So AC/DC was on tour, and I think Brian Johnson got told by his doctor, "You can't sing because you're gonna go deaf."
Right.
And now apparently Axl's been practicing with them.
What?
Oh yeah.
That's proof that we're caught in some
kind of
weird.
That's kind of part of your
bubble.
Concept.
That's either really terrible or amazing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what yet. Yeah. It depends. Yeah. See, it depends on what year it is that you're suggesting the idea to me in, I would say.
Exactly.
But I don't know. What's the comedian's name? Do you guys know the comedian's name who did the Mighty Mouse song?
Andy Kaufman.
That's a great routine. You got me thinking about that.
Yep. Yeah, there's that great movie Jim Carrey did.
Man on the Moon,
Man
right?
Man on the Moon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. He was a bit of a nut.
Yeah, seems like it, just at least based on his act.
If you're going to read one book this year, that you could read a biography of Andy Kaufman, and it is weirder than fiction. He's a pretty intense guy. You can Google stuff on YouTube. If that's not a weird oxymoron, Google on YouTube. Can you do that?
Now they might be kind of like one and one and the same.
Well, he would appear on talk shows and pretend to be a wrestler, or really was he? He was maybe a wrestler, and he would wrestle women, and he'd like get into fights with these real big wrestler dudes, and like flat out fights, and you're not sure if it's a joke or not.
Yeah, he was crazy.
He was really crazy. Now he may or may not. He's like Schrodinger's comic. He may or may not be dead. He's either dead or alive. Yeah. He kind of exists.
Sure. In between. So guys, you want to talk a little bit about your brand new record?
Skulls of Paris.
Skulls of Paris.
Named that before the famous tragedy in Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's been some crazy stuff going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world.
It is a crazy world. It's always been a crazy world.
It has always been a crazy world. Jules Verne wrote about terrorism in the Middle East as a science fiction novel. And like fighting over Israel. But it was a slightly different scenario because he was writing the end of the 19th century or whatever. But it's a tough world. Yeah. But fortunately, our music makes it a weirder, nicer, funkier world.
That's what we like.
Some good energy.
And this album has a lot of awesome energy. You guys really started out.
Thank you.
You know, driving hard, and it just stays like that through and through.
Well, we worked really hard on it. I'd say everybody's put a little bit of blood, sweat, and I've cried.
Yeah. Have you ever fallen asleep crying over your instrument? Just kind of like,
I can't sleep when I'm crying.
It's a full experience.
It's why I don't play any instruments. They warp.
Gotcha.
For the weeping. But we worked a lot of this stuff. Well, we kind of improvise all the songs initially. I'd say 80%. No, I don't know. Numbers are not my forte.
No.
But some of the stuff is written out, some of the stuff is improvised, some of the lyrics come from books, you know, and things like found articles and things like that. And we just play with it and play with it and play with it and sort of just keep going after what feels good and sounds good to us. And one of the things I love most about working with these two guys is that every early take of a song that we do ends with ridiculous laughter.
That's great.
Everybody's just laughing. We're like, oh, look what we just did. That was, and you know, and we try to keep that energy forward as we kind of trim it and shape it. And like, quite, it's like musical topiary in a way.
Topiary?
Where you shape a bush to look like a duck
or a dinosaur. That's not a euphemism. That's real.
Could be a nautilus spiral. Yeah. Just mess with it.
Yeah. Giraffe.
Dude, I'm not calling you a thespian. I'm not. Don't worry. It's cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's like a cryptozoological topiary.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
With extras, we could do a Calypso tune. No, that's not
right
true.
Now.
No.
Yeah.
But I tell you, one of the things that is also fun is that I think all of us would not necessarily enjoy the other's record collections.
Oh no.
A to Z. You know, we'd like a lot of it, but a lot of it would be like, what is this? Why would you have this? But we take
Venn diagram, and the center part's quite narrow.
It's a bubbling stew.
Yeah.
That bit of the Venn diagram. Yeah. But all of our influences just kind
of. But that part of the Venn diagram looks in. Like a very dark asshole.
It's like the center of the. Is it? Oh.
There's dark stuff happens there, I think.
Some of the stuff can be dark, but it's, you know, in the same way of, I think, like a good Irish ballad. You know, there's some dark stuff out there. You know, dark times. Just sing a song about it.
True. You know,
get your head around it.
So.
And there's fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Should we dive in, show the audience a little bit of what you guys have, and then maybe come back, talk a little bit more?
Yeah, man. That sounds good.
Cool. What do you guys want to start off with?
Skulls of Paris?
Let's do it. Let's dive right in.
Yeah.
That's a light one.
We'll be right back. box at the time. So I can listen.
All right, so that was the title track, the lead-off track from A Proper Mob's new album, Skulls of Paris. That was some really cool stuff, guys. I mean, that like, just right off the bat, it's so driving and powerful. I was really curious. First, just why don't you tell everybody, like, what your role in the band is, you know, like, where you are in terms of instruments and recording and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I do the vocals and write a lot of the words sometimes, or like that song is clipped from a bunch of William Volman's work. Like most of the lyrics come from a book that he did.
Brian's the muse. Be Real's the muse, man.
Gotcha.
You know, yep. It's like we'll do a lot of jams. I play guitar. We got DJ Ted on the decks, but. And we'll jam on a lot of stuff. We'll bring a lot of weird stuff into the music. But unless Brian B. Reels lays down some lyrics right away, usually the song dies.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, like 9 times out of 10, he just kind of comes in and goes, I got this stuff. That sounds like a good beat. And then we'll continue to play with the song.
Gotcha.
That's it. It's just a 3-piece at the moment.
So are we talking like B. Reels freestyling? And just like kind of, it's coming to you as jamming is going on.
Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of times, that's how.
That's awesome.
Although sometimes I'll have something written out beforehand, and it just and they'll start playing something, and I'll look through the book, and you're like, oh, this might work. And you know, more often than not, it's a pretty good fit. We had a thing where we've been.
When Brian and I first met, sorry to interrupt, when Brian and I first met, it was a few times, and I was like, interesting guy, but not long after we met, he handed me a book of his poems and musings that he'd put together after a long time, and I was looking at it and saying, I might be able to play guitar over some of this stuff.
Very cool.
We just kind of started jamming, and that was how it started out. And I wasn't a guitar player until then.
Oh, really?
So he inspired me with that bass. Stuff. Because I thought, if I'm going to learn how to play guitar, I better join up with a singer who doesn't sing and a guitarist who doesn't play guitar. And we'll start from there and see where it goes. And a DJ who, he DJs, but you know.
No. Not well, this you stuff. Two, you and Ted had been in a band previously. You were in the Bad Saints. So,
yeah. Cricket.
Yep.
That was fun. That was definitely
we weren't going to talk about.
is that a chapter that goes on?
Oh no, no, it was really cool. It was absolutely.
No, it was great.
And those years is really roadie for Dio for me, or you've been out fucking.
So it's
roadie for
ago.
Dio.
That's how that's how me and DJ Ted met up through an old band called Bad Saints.
Cool.
And if you'd been around in the day, you wanted to go see the Bad Saints.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, one of the few bands that were around Boston playing kind of. I don't know, what would you call it? Rock with a DJ in the background.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. Fun.
Yeah.
What kind of venues were you guys playing?
All the big small pubs.
Nice.
Yeah.
The biggest hot dog stands in Boston.
Yeah.
All of them.
Did a lot of stuff at the Abbey Lounge. That was like
cool.
An old, that's long gone. Although I hear they're having that reunion and we weren't invited.
What?
I know.
It's BS.
It is. Remember the time we got bumped from the big room? We had to play the small room. There was like 9 people in the band.
It used to be the Abbey Lounge.
There was room for
side.
10 people in the bar.
Yeah, you know where Trina's Starlight Lounge is?
Yeah.
So that used to be the Abbey.
Okay.
And then to the side of it, there was a little wine bar, and we were supposed
called
to play
the wine bar.
Yeah, we were supposed to play a stage at the Abbey, but we got bumped over to the wine bar, and we had like 9 people in that band. We were standing around like 2 little round tables in the back. We pulled it off though. It
nice.
Good. Yeah.
Very nice. Some of those like kind of pulled together gigs, I feel like, are the ones you have to be most proud of.
Just figure it out and do it.
So how did you guys settle on this sound? You have a very unique sound. You said, David, you said you hadn't even been playing guitar before you sort of started jamming together. You know, so what, I guess, where do your influences come from?
don't know, all over the place.
I mean, I think collectively our influences span a pretty wide spectrum, but the sound of this album per se has evolved over the last, I would say, last year or so. And before that, it was much more of an acoustic style sound, less percussion. And we used to just play around like a coffee table or a kitchen table, and it was just not amplified.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started playing in a rehearsal space where we could really turn it up.
Cool.
We had to move out of the coffee table.
We got too loud for the coffee neighbors. Table. Yeah. The neighbors weren't quite sure what we were screaming.
Oh, no. So one morning after, we started getting loud, right? You know, because I stopped playing the acoustic guitar and I went on to the baritone electric.
Uh-huh.
And things started getting loud and things started getting angry. And it was cool for a while during the winter when the windows were closed. But then as soon as it started getting a little warmer, we opened the windows. And one morning, my next door neighbor came up to me and she goes, "Who was in your house last night? He sounds retarded. Going on about effing Texas over and over again." Into the wee hours, man. And I realized we had to get a rehearsal space after that. So now we play in a basement two floors under the ground.
Cool.
So yeah, we can be as loud as we want. But as far as where the sound has come from, I think that's all DJ Ted, man. He's the guy that's been kind of nudging us into this area
of
what you're hearing now.
Cool.
He's kind of like whenever you need some tech, you talk to Ted and say, "I need a sound that goes like this, and I've only got $100. What do I buy?" And he'll Google it for you.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's cool.
There's nothing like everybody needs a tech guru in their life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say guru, but
no.
With these guys, maybe I'm the guru.
Absolutely. 100%.
You're like a tech parish priest.
Well, we're trying to, I'm trying to fuse like electronic music with live instruments.
Cool.
So I've been using Ableton Live for a long time.
Oh, really?
So I run everything through Ableton Live when we play for the most part.
And then how about when you're recording, you know, the studio albums?
Same way. We wanted to keep the vibe from like the practice session vibe.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, you have a lot of energy, but a lot of times
totally.
If you go into a studio, it gets really nerve-wracking and stale. So we figured out a good system where we pretty much record everything, and then we'll say, okay, we're going to do it now, final take, get it done quick.
Cool.
So we capture the without breaking stride, which is pretty cool.
You kind of get that spontaneity and explosiveness.
It's usually, you know, if you record something 20 times, it's usually the first or second take that's the best consistently.
Starts feeling like mechanical after a bit.
Exactly.
Definitely. That's really cool. I used to do a little recording on my own, and my dad does some recording, and he's messed around with Ableton because he's started dabbling in more electronic stuff.
Nice.
But he always comes back to like Reason and Logic, and I've always been in Logic, and I've just never been able to crack Ableton.
Yeah.
And it's always seemed so heavily geared towards, you know, the more modern sort of DJ and electronic scene. So I just think it's very cool that you guys are finding
we're very modern. We're very DJ. Absolutely.
You've got this great mix. You've got, you know, you've got like these driving guitars. You've got these poetic verses. I mean, everything's coming together. It's very cool. It's very unique. So I was thinking we'd play another song, then maybe we do a little PSA. And then we'll be back.
Yeah, man.
Sounds good.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Cool.
Miss Foster, you got swell eyes. And your hair is as soft as cobweb. Your voice is like calm filtered sea breezes whispering through the vegetation.
Bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Allie. All right, and we are back with A Proper Mob. That last song you heard was Castor Oil off of their new album, Skulls of Paris. We've been chatting in the meantime, talking a little bit about, you know, influence. And Porch Fest just came up. So for those who don't know, why don't you guys talk a little bit about, I mean, Porch Fest. What's your experience been with Porch Fest?
It's a fantastic excuse to drink beer on the street.
Hey.
And it's just people come out and you can tour around and they'll just play on their front porches. And it might be acoustic fiddles, it might be anything under the sun.
Cool.
You know, there was a 14 woman a cappella band at one point. I forget what they were called. They were great. They were super great. But it's just a great excuse for getting out of the house on a nice day and wandering around and like going into other people's spaces a little
nice.
Bit. And I think it makes Somerville a slightly better place.
Somerville's very cool. Honestly, I really would love to stay in the area after I graduate. It's like been a lot of fun, in my opinion. It's a lot of life in the area.
For sure.
A lot of like art and culture going on, I think.
You gotta stay. You gotta stick around.
It's dense, yeah. It's not prominent, but it's dense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's everywhere you look, there's some little patch of something.
So are all of you guys very local to the area?
I was born in Melrose, so oh, okay. I grew up 8 miles from here.
Gotcha.
And actually, the first time I was in came to Tufts was 1988.
Were you touring?
No, I was in high school. I was 11th grade. My friend, who was a year older than me, had just got accepted, and he wanted to go over and check it out.
Gotcha.
So we drove over, and that was one of the first times I'd ever been in Somerville.
Cool.
Well, Medford.
Yeah. It straddles the divide.
Well, for a long time, Tufts, I guess, didn't like to admit that it was really in Somerville, because Somerville had a bad reputation.
Really?
And then as Somerville kind of became more and more gentrified, it became a little more prominent on the letterhead.
Mm.
I don't know if that's going to get us shut off.
Once they've heard the album.
Exposing the conspiracies. And also, I know you guys have the jumbos because of the P.T. Barnum connection. Mm-hmm.
That poor elephant.
They're not the jumbos. What is it? What's your team called?
We're the Jumbos.
Your eyes are the Jumbos?
No, you got it.
Yeah. Oh, right on. Nice.
Yeah, I did, like, no, P.T. Barnum and the Jumbos.
I thought I had just done like a the Google.
No.
You know, the Googles.
No. Jumbo the Elephant. And
he had his skeleton or his skin.
Yeah, we had his skin stuffed. Wow. And it was in one of our lecture halls. And then it burnt down.
Yeah.
So they say that the ashes are still in the in the athletic department somewhere.
Yeah.
In a jar. Yeah. I think so. Now our pride and joy is the elephant statue on the lawn. Sure. That was like $1 million or something donated last year.
Whoa.
And there was like a big.
You get elephant for like $800,000. Get a real elephant.
See, that could have been interesting, you know.
It'd be great. Just stake them down.
Walking out at halftime in the football games.
People would love that.
Yeah.
Elephant stake down in the yard. Who wouldn't love that?
Oh man!
Really get a
humanely.
You get this. Get the school spirit going for real.
Yeah. You could. Yeah, school spirit. You guys have a lot of school spirit. It's tough. So a real. Doesn't seem like a very rah.
No, I mean we're Division III school, right. Athletics wise, yep. And then like.
But you're Division I in chess.
Right.
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 What's up?
I mean, I think we've been doing kind of okay in the sports realm this year. I don't really know. I don't follow. And like, I think that I'm representative of a fair amount of the Tufts community. Just like, we're not super involved, but we'll go to a game on Saturday with some friends and like have a beer or two.
I went to UMass and at Amherst, and they had a big sports section to this or aspect to the school,
mm-hmm.
But it's such a big school. I never really knew that because I was just with the English majors and the
kind of doing your own thing.
Yeah, you know, hanging out eating salad and smoking pot.
Slacker.
And, right, you know, trying to meet girls in Guatemalan dresses and things. And I remember like, oh, they're doing that again this year? They play basketball every year?
What?
Like, doesn't get repetitive,
in my early
man.
20s, I was always like, oh, that World Series, it's going again. Wow, it's They really like
I thought
that.
You were a jock all this time.
No.
When I met you, everything about you screamed jock to me.
That's sarcasm. No. You just watch me try to catch a ball or throw. And you just see right away, you're like, that man's never served on a naval vessel. I can't even play sport video games because I don't know the rules.
Dude, like, I can't either. My friends keep trying to get me to do it, and I'm like,
hockey was like, I was like, what do you do? It's like it's like those 3D games where you end up in the corner with your gun pointed at the ceiling. And you're like, what do I do? I just didn't know how to move. I didn't know how to do anything. That's why I had to get into a band. I couldn't do anything else.
One of my housemates walked in my room the other day, and they were trying to express to me that they were like calling, they were changing the play before the play happened, and they used a football term, and they just like continued on with their sentence, and I was sitting there like blank stare, just like, what does that word mean? What are you talking about? And they're like, this is a very common term, one you should know, and it was just totally over my head.
Is it audible?
Yeah, it was that. And like
concussion.
I would have thought you meant the book thing.
What?
The Audible, where they do the...
See, right? Online, that's exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't have...
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't I'm have got that you. At all.
Ted's a former football player. What?
Really?
Yeah.
DJ and football player.
Yep.
Very eclectic.
What'd you play?
I played free safety.
Cool.
Played some tight end.
Cool.
These are also
words we do not understand.
Yeah. I played the position where you tackle someone, and right. The other position where you
catch
the
ball. You're the guy who went,
yeah.
Mongo smash! With tactic and style, but smash!
That's right, yeah.
Years of honing skill, but
it's definitely the most important element.
And you bring that approach to your turntable.
I do.
I think.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah,
that's right.
That's why you buy the cheap ones, because they don't last long. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, guys, you have
He's
a...
getting angry now.
No,
won't,
I'm...
You won't like
I'm actually thinking about... I might break it at the end of the show.
So, all right,
like
yeah.
Pete Townsend?
Yeah, I'm going to smash the plastic.
Nice.
Do DJs do that? You could be like the Pete Townsend.
I don't know,
Townsend
but I want to capture it on video, so...
Do it.
That'd be awesome. You could do that like windmill thing and just
what are you
wind
gonna
up
smash the turntable?
Yeah, but I have to.
It's such a small.
I have
turntable.
To unplug it first so I don't smash the laptop.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. that's too.
So it's got to look. I got to do it quick.
Or it's like not start rock and roll if you early. Do it safely.
I might take the turntable out of the set before the end of the like the right. Like the seventh song, so I have it ready to grab.
You have a stunt. Have a stunt double.
Yeah, and I can't do it now that I've planned it out. It's not cool.
And told radio listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to do something more spectacular.
I'll just knock the whole. I'm gonna break your guitar.
Definitely has to be something involving fire.
Yes, you fire know? Always works. As long as it's at the end of the show.
Just combine the Hendrix and the Townsend. You know, it'd be fun. So, but you guys were mentioning you've got a show coming up. You've got your album release party, right?
Yeah.
This coming weekend.
That was a smooth segue.
That was so smooth. Oh, like my God. I just...
I'm like, are what? Are you even here to... Are we doing a show? Yeah. I don't feel like...
Oh, my God. You had the high guy in here. Look at the ceiling. The high guy. All the graffiti up there on the ceiling. That dude's infamously famous.
This one?
Yeah, over on the other side of the building. This is a crap moment for radio, I'll tell you what. But there's these drop ceiling panels, and I've lived in Somerville for a long time, and there's this guy, you may have seen him, looks a little bit like a penis with arms, and he says, hi, and he's just a little white on black on white kind of thing.
He kind of looks like
he's all over
the Canadians from South
That's
Park.
The biggest one of those I've ever seen. It's always just one little sticker, and they're all over town. And that is that. You should shellac that, or some spill soda on it. Well, you can't do that on the ceiling, of course. But that's pretty cool. Anyway, did yes, we're playing the Lily Pad this Saturday.
Yeah, very linear conversation. So.
Squirrel.
Let's kind of hunker down and stay with it. It'll usually come back around.
Yeah. Hey, that's the best kind of conversation in my book. That's how most of my thoughts work.
It's mostly entertaining.
What are we doing?
Pelly and the Lily Pad, Saturday night, 6:30. What's
seven?
Today? 7 o'clock of the hour. Free to you, the consumer, who will be able to consume because there's a bar. Cash bar, but you're free to get in. It'll be cool. You'll love it. We'll play. We're going to have a light show. We're going to have Nick Winnikin, local pirate, man of artist, great man around town. We'll be tinkling the ivories like an old, late 19th century New York whorehouse piano player kind of guy, like, you know, like Chico Marx.
What?
I didn't tell you?
No.
I didn't hear all that.
Oh, it's good. So that's happening.
So there'll be a, yeah.
You got that going.
There will be no prostitutes that I know of.
We'll have a guest appearance.
Oh, I'll tell you, this is a true story. Too. I hate to segue, but I have to tell this story because as somebody who's not in college anymore, I remember my second year in college, we had a party and there was that guy who wouldn't leave. And I was sitting in my room and with this girl and this guy was there. And he just said, as he was kind of being encouraged to leave, he said something about how he was available for prostitution, male or female, it was all the same to him. just putting it out there, if you know anybody. And I was like, thank you. Good night. Just, that's a weird.
Have a good one. So,
just Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Lily Pad, Inman Square.
No, but that's unusual.
We'll have more stores like this.
Do that.
No, that is unusual.
In your room. I mean, on the street. Maybe. Like, hello, I'm a prostitute. How are you?
It's networking. Gotta get the word out. That was the wrong approach. I should have tried something else.
You should bring up the prostitute before you get in the house.
I usually don't get in if I say that first. I gotta get in and then...
It's like, clock out when you come into my house, man. Yes. That's what I say. So, oh, Lily Pad, 7 o'clock.
So, Lily Pad, 7 o'clock.
Which is in Cambridge.
Saturday.
We will be projecting antique liquid light shows over us as we play.
All in white,
which is not a cult thing. It's just we don't want to take away from the drippy colors.
Tim Sprague will join
Tim
us.
Tim Sprague, excellent trumpet player, master. He's a mighty little Davis of a trumpet player. I love that guy. He plays good work. And also a shout out that Castor Oil song, Luis
Poza Garcia.
Poza Garcia played guitar on that, came in, sat down, never right out of the box.
That's
first
awesome.
First take.
He's a first take.
That's
Charlie.
Crazy.
Yep. He's actually a first take Carlos, I guess I should say, because he's Spanish.
First take and first time you ever heard the song, I think.
That's the first time.
Wow.
Yep.
And was that's remarkable.
Incredibly friendly and lovely.
I had to do a lot of editing on his part, gotcha. To be clear about that.
Okay.
He played edit. Too many good notes.
Yeah. I deleted them and replayed them.
It made us look bad.
No, he was amazing. He was almost too good to be in room.
Yeah, happy to come to the show.
Well, fellas, what do you think? Do you want to choose one last song before we run out on the hour?
Yeah, you got that mustache
song. Mustache on. Jump?
Yeah, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Now, I'd just like to say about this song is one of those instant compositions kind of thing. I think it took about 5 minutes to put this together.
And it kind of shows a little.
No! But it's good. It looks like 7 minutes.
It's no good.
It's a good
5 months, 5 hours, 5 minutes, all the same.
I'll tell you, the quality, you could probably debate, but we're quick to market.
No research.
Well, if it makes us laugh, and this song is called...
Totally Made Me Laugh, man.
Do we have a song? What's the title of this song?
Mustache Jump.
It's the double single.
It's a double single. It's a maxi single.
Maxi single.
Like Babyface used to do.
He had it.
No idea what that means.
I do. I know what it means. I actually have that in my mom's basement.
That's good radio.
Jesus.
That's great radio. Here it is.
It is.
Maxi single.
My baby face.
Whiff of you.
All right, so that was the last song of Headroom with Alexander Golan on 91.5 WMFO Medford. We've been here with a proper mob talking about their new album, Skulls of Paris. And we just wanted to stop in one last time and say goodbye. And thanks for listening.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Alex, thank you so much.
Of course.
It's been a super fun time.
Been a pleasure having you guys. And remember to check them out at the Lily Pad this Saturday,